Many Catholics find themselves searching for answers when faced with Protestant friends and family challenging them on Catholic-specific doctrines such as purgatory. I live in a heavily Protestant area, and all my friends and family are non-Catholics. I know firsthand just how frustrating it is to be caught off guard when these well-meaning Protestants hit you with these objections. I've spent years studying these topics individually, and here are my answers to the five most common objections to purgatory. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Sherry. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, X, Rumble, BitChute, and Substack. The fiction world is blasphemous, and the Christian fiction world is Protestant. Well, my first book, Until the Last Penny, is available as an ebook on Amazon, and it is unapologetically Catholic. Get your copy by clicking the link in the description. The paperback is coming soon. Special thanks to Hector and Patrick J. Rondell for leaving reviews of my book on Amazon. Before we get into the five most common objections Protestants have against purgatory, we need to establish a few things. 1. Many Protestants and people in general have an incorrect idea of what the Catholic dogma of purgatory is. Some believe it is a second chance, where a person can earn salvation or salvation can be bought by a loved one in the living world, that it is some sort of halfway or in-between place where the inhabitants could go either to heaven or hell, or it is some kind of waiting room. Therefore, it is necessary to define what purgatory is according to Catholic teaching. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, "All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joys of heaven." The Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. The Church formulated her doctrine of faith on purgatory, especially at the Councils of Florence and Trent. The tradition of the Church, by reference to certain texts of Scripture, speaking of a cleansing fire. When a person dies, they go to their judgment, where their final destination of either heaven or hell will be determined. The damned go directly to hell. The saved go to heaven unless they lack the purification needed to enter, which is perfection itself. Christ said, "You must be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect." And the book of Revelation says nothing unclean can enter heaven. Those who are not yet perfect must go to purgatory and be purified before entering heaven. No one who is in purgatory will be damned, and all who are in purgatory will eventually go to heaven. Most people who are saved go to purgatory. To purify ourselves in this world is extremely difficult. Christ illustrates just how difficult it is when a rich man asks him what he needs to do to be saved. Jesus said, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to Jesus, "All these I have observed, what do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." If all we need to do to be saved is obey the commandments, then why would Jesus point out what is needed for purification? Or was he lying in the first answer and you really do have to sell everything to be saved? Or was he just being Jesus, saying things that aren't literally true, like cut off your hand and pluck out your eye? Or was he making a distinction between being saved and entering heaven? There are a lot of passages like this in the Bible, verses that leave the no purgatory crowd searching for answers, but make perfect sense if you take purgatory into account, like the baptism of the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:29, or will not be forgiven in this life or the next, Matthew 12:32. And there are many more. 2. Not everything is in the Bible. Not only does the Bible not claim to be the sole source of God's word, it explicitly denies it, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught by us, either by word of mouth, tradition, or by letter, scripture. 3. The word purgatory is simply the term the Catholic Church assigned to the belief of purification before entering heaven that we can establish was believed not only by the early Christians, but by the pre-Christian Jews. In fact, Jews to this day pray for their dead, just like Catholics and Orthodox Christians do. Only Protestants, the late comers of the 16th century that decided God talks to them instead of the church, believe everyone who is saved goes straight to heaven, and no one is in need of purification and prayers. Now, in doing research for this video, I tried to go to Protestant sources to refresh myself and see exactly what they are saying, which I knew was a bad idea. I knew I was going to get mad. I have very little tolerance when Protestants make ignorant statements about Catholicism, acting as if they know what they're talking about. And right off the bat, I get this from Verse to Verse Ministries author Brad Smith, quote, "First, as he says in his article, we need to see what the Catholic Church officially and infallibly teaches about purgatory. I say infallibly because the Catholic Church teaches that anything the Pope and Magisterium teach regarding faith and morals is infallible. Since this teaching comes from their catechism, it is infallible, according to the Catholic Church, and must be believed by the Catholic faithful." No, Brad, not everything the Pope and Magisterium teach regarding faith and morals is considered infallible, and catechisms are not infallible in and of themselves. Only the infallible material they quote is considered infallible. Yes, purgatory is infallible and must be believed by all Catholics. And while the definition of purgatory that you and I both quoted from the catechism is accurate, whether it is the infallible definition or not, I'm not sure. But immediately I could see that you don't know what you're talking about, and you need to do some, quite frankly, basic research into Catholicism if you're going to talk authoritatively on it. So I knew right away reading Protestant material on the subject was not going to work because I wouldn't be able to handle it. Then it hit me. I don't need to find out what the most common objections Protestants have to purgatory is. I've been dealing with these people my whole life, and so have many of you. So I asked you guys to tell me what you hear. With my experiences and yours, I came up with the 5 most common objections to purgatory and how to answer them. So here are the 5 most common objections that Protestants have to purgatory and their answers to them. Objection number 1 is, of course, purgatory is not in the Bible. Technically, this is true. The word purgatory is not in the Bible, but as stated earlier, the word purgatory is simply the term the Catholic Church assigned to the belief of purification after death before entering heaven. And since the word purgatory did not enter the picture before the 5th or 6th century, no one should expect it to appear in the Bible any more than the word automobile or airplane. Moreover, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, though the concept is clearly laid out in Scripture, as is the concept of purgatory, as we shall soon see. Every Christian group has major doctrines that are not explicitly found in Scripture, but rather are based on implicit Scripture passages. For instance, Scripture alone is not found in the Bible. Salvation through faith alone is explicitly denied in the book of James, and nowhere are the phrases personal relationship with Jesus, ask Jesus into your heart, or make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior found in Scripture. They sound good, but they are not in Scripture. The fact of the matter is, the concept of purgatory is explicitly taught in Scripture in 3 places, Matthew 5, 25, and 26. Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. Each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. 2 Maccabees 12:45. It was a holy and pious thought, therefore he made atonement for the dead, that they might be delivered from their sins. Of course, Protestants will object, claiming Matthew chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 3 aren't talking about purgatory, but their excuses fall flat, in my opinion. It seems they will claim they are talking about literally anything but purgatory. And of course, they will claim that the Maccabees are not in the Bible. However, we can demonstrate very easily that all Christians accepted Maccabees as scripture until Protestants removed them and other books from their Bibles. Objection number two, the Bible denies the existence of purgatory. This usually refers to three passages in the Bible. One, the good thief. Jesus said to the good thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The good thief didn't have to go to purgatory, therefore there is no purgatory. But this objection fails on many levels. One, not everyone goes to purgatory. You can avoid purgatory in this life through suffering and penance. After Jesus said this, the good thief remained on the cross, suffering a cruel death, even having his legs broken, so it's very possible his entire debt was paid when he died. Two, Jesus is sovereign and he can skip you over purgatory and straight into heaven if he so chooses. And three, Jesus did not say, "Today you will be with me in heaven," as it is presented by Protestants. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus says the word heaven over 70 times in Scripture. He uses the word paradise exactly once, here. Could it be that the paradise Jesus is referring to isn't heaven? Well, considering Jesus didn't go to heaven that day, in fact, he did not ascend into heaven for over 40 days, and since Jesus said that the good thief would be with him, where did Jesus go that day? To the lower regions, specifically what some early church fathers called the limbo or paradise of the fathers, where the Old Testament saints went after they died, waiting for the Messiah to open the gates of heaven. Ephesians 4:9. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Hell, which consists not only of the lake of fire where the damned go, but also purgatory, the limbo of the fathers, and the limbo of the infants, is in the earth. The Apostle Paul just said so. You might object, saying science says there's a core, the crust, and the mantle, and most people assume science knows this because people have drilled down that far, but they're wrong. The furthest anyone has ever drilled into the earth is 8 miles. So as you can see, the Bible does not say that the good thief went straight to heaven. The next Bible verse often used to disprove purgatory is, the Bible says, to be away from the body is to be with the Lord. The only problem is, that's not what that verse says. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:8, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Well, I would rather be away from Missouri and on the deck of a cruise ship. That's not the same as saying to be away from Missouri is to be on the deck of a cruise ship. So no, the Bible does not say to be away from the body is to be with the Lord. The next Bible passage used by Protestants to disprove purgatory is Hebrews 9:27, which says, it is assigned to men to live and die once, and then the judgment. Why some Protestants think this disproves purgatory is beyond me. They must assume an incorrect idea of what purgatory is, a place to await judgment or something. Yes, Catholics agree men live and die once, then the judgment, and that judgment may include purgatory if the person was saved. Next objection, purgatory denies the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, here we come to the heart of the matter and why Protestants really reject purgatory, because it's not compatible with their erroneous doctrine of salvation. This objection stems from the Protestant belief in justification and salvation through faith alone and not works. Christ does all the work, and we get all the benefits, having to do nothing. This, of course, is false. We are not saved or justified through faith alone. But this video is not a refutation of that doctrine. I am simply pointing out that the core doctrine of faith alone is naturally opposed to purgatory, and that's the real reason Protestants object to it. Protestants have a tendency to lump redemption, sanctification, justification, purification, and salvation all into one package, using the terms interchangeably, presuming that when the Bible speaks of one, it's talking about the others as well. I'm not saying there aren't well-educated Protestants who differentiate between these concepts, but they do so without much distinction, and in the end, nothing is required of us. The Catholic and correct position is that redemption, justification, sanctification, salvation, and purification are all separate things. All of humanity was redeemed by Christ on the cross, but not all are justified and sanctified. Not all who are sanctified are saved, and not all who are saved are purified enough after death to enter heaven. Jesus said, "You must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," Matthew 5:48. The souls in purgatory lack only perfection. They are redeemed, justified, sanctified, and saved. Only the saved go to purgatory. In order to prove their point, Protestants often cite passages such as Hebrews 10:10, which says, "And by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all," and Hebrews 10:14, which says, "By single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." Saying these passages prove that Christ did all the work, which is applied to us, therefore requiring nothing of us, therefore purgatory is not necessary. All these and passages like them are saying is that the work of redemption, sanctification, salvation, and purification has been accomplished by Christ on the cross, yes, but that doesn't mean it is applied to everyone or all at once. All Christians believe you have to do something in order to receive what Christ won on the cross, even if it's as simple as asking for it. All Christians believe we have to do something. Otherwise, all men would be saved, which is of course not true. The word translated as "are sanctified" in Hebrews 10:14 can also be translated as "are being sanctified" and is rendered as such in many Protestant translations, making it read as follows: "For by one single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified," indicating that the application of sanctification and perfection is an ongoing process. What happens if that process isn't finished before a person dies? He must go to purgatory until it is finished. Purgatory is part of the completed, finished work of Christ on the cross, without which nobody goes to purgatory, everybody goes to hell. Next objection: purgatory is a works-based salvation. This objection goes hand in hand with the last one. Protestants say purgatory is earning your salvation, which is a free gift. And yes, Catholic doctrine agrees, salvation itself is a free gift, something you cannot earn. Those in purgatory have already received the free gift of salvation and cannot lose it. They only lack the perfection necessary to enter heaven, a perfection Scripture makes very clear no one can enter heaven without, Revelation 21:27. "But nothing unclean shall enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Hebrews 12:23 speaks of those who in heaven as, quote, "the spirits of just men made perfect." Being saved and entering heaven are two different things. All being saved means is you aren't damned for all eternity. Purgatory is different from being damned. And the last objection is the early Christians did not believe in purgatory. This one is actually laughable. The early Christians absolutely believed that some people had to be purified before entering heaven, and that the prayers of the faithful, still alive, can aid in that process. The Christian catacombs in Rome have prayers written on the walls for the dead and prayers to saints asking them to pray for deceased loved ones. This proves that the early Christians, A, prayed for their deceased, and B, prayed to saints. Here are some examples. O St. Sixtus, remember in your prayers Aurelius Repentinus. Anatolius made this for his well-deserving son, who lived 7 years, 7 months, and 20 days. May your spirit rest well in God. Pray for your sister. And a husband placed an inscription for his beloved wife Luciferia, which reads, in order that all who read it may pray for her, that she may reach God. The early church writings confirm that early Christians believed in purification after death before entering heaven. Tertullian wrote in around 200 AD, we make yearly offerings or sacrifices for the dead and for the feasts of the martyrs. He also said that widows pray for the souls of their deceased husbands, quote, and begs repose for him and his company in the first resurrection and offers sacrifice on the anniversary days of his death. For if she does not do these things, she has as much as lies in her divorced him. Cyprian of Carthage wrote in 2050 AD, it is one thing to hope for forgiveness and another to enter into eternal glory. One thing to be cast into prison and not to go out from thence until the last farthing is paid, and another immediately to receive the reward of faith and virtue. One thing to be tortured for sins by long-lasting pains and purged by fire, and another to have already expiated sin by martyrdom. It is one thing to be cast into prison, not to be released until the last farthing is paid, and another thing, through the ardor of faith, immediately to attain to the reward. St. Ephrem in the 4th century says, "Instead of shedding useless tears over the grave, let them flow at prayers in church. For in these there is help and comfort for the dead as well as for the living. And if the Jewish priests were able, by their sacrifices, to help those fallen in battle," referring to Maccabees, "how much more will the priests of the Son of God, by their holy sacrifice and prayers, efface the sins of the departed?" Well, there you have it, overcoming the 5 most common objections to purgatory. I hope this was helpful. And don't forget to get your copy of Until the Last Penny. The ebook is available. The link to Amazon is in the description. The paperback should be available next week. Until my next video, God bless.